This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Hi, folks. It's Alan Gervy.
That's a new one.
I was prohibited. I was banned, not from the Olympics, but I was banned from saying a good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been 2.5 years. How you can't change it now.
Jason Rose, he told me I can't say it anymore. They have done research, and the research has shown, according to Jason Rose, our producer, one of the producers actually, that I cannot say a good afternoon. So now I said, hi, folks. How's it going?
I mean, this just sounds like Wascally Wabbit. Hi, folks. You know, like.
Well, what would you say?
Hey, it's Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervy. This is Gervy's Law. And then I'd go into your spiel about how you are the managing partner of everybody's life.
So far, I can still say that.
Okay. Well, that's
so great. Let me say it.
Okay.
Hi, folks. It's Carrie Kasem here. And I still am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. That's Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. 1-855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW. We specialize in just about everything under the sun. Actually, that's not true.
And I'm Alan Gervy, and
you don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say.
You're actually Carrie Kasem.
I am.
And I'm actually Alan Gervy, and we're very, very happy. Oh, I used two verys. Sorry. We're happy to be with you today. I have been an Olympics junkie for many, many years. Growing up in Canada, I had this really great spirit, Olympic spirit. In fact, I'm wearing an Olympic hat from the Vancouver Olympics in 2010. And I went there. I stayed with Jordy Schneer. He was kind enough to put me up, an old friend of mine. And I saw a lot of events. I love the Olympics.
I do too.
And it used to be my therapy. I know you've been through a lot of therapy in your life.
Oh, yeah.
My therapy was sitting in front of the TV and escaping by watching any event. I would even watch the biathlon.
Really? I pretty much can watch anything in the Olympics, too. I'm very competitive, so I like watching competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you been watching?
Like crazy.
Like crazy?
Yeah. Even when I get exhausted, if the gymnastics keeps going, I stay up and watch it.
Really?
I can't. They're so good.
But I got to tell you, you don't have to stay up and watch it, folks. Just go on the internet. You'll get all the results.
That's true. But I like to watch it when it's happening, I guess. Even though it may not be exactly when it's happening, but it's happening over here in the U.S.
So. It isn't happening. I got to tell you, I've seen so many people on Facebook say, please don't talk about the Olympics during the day because I'm working and I don't know what's going on. I'm going to watch it nighttime.
It's true. I've seen a couple of spoilers.
It's ridiculous, though. Why can't we watch things as they happen? And maybe we'll ask our guests today why we have to wait until prime time to watch, you know, the gymnastics, for instance. Why can't we watch it when it happens?
You know, in Singapore, when I lived there, any of the big games or competitions came on, it was live. It didn't matter if it was in the middle of the night. They didn't tape it and then play it. Everything was live. And I think that's how it should be. And then you can replay it again.
And absolutely. In fact, in Singapore, they are all celebrating. You know what?
The swimmer.
What is his name?
Oh, Joseph.
I'm going to school you on this one.
Joseph Schooling.
Right. Schooling from Singapore won the gold medal. Amazing feat. And guess what he won when he won the gold medal?
Besides the gold medal?
Besides the gold medal.
Well, it was the first time Singapore, who's a very small country, I used to live there, so I knew this, and they'd never had a gold medal before, ever.
That's not the answer. The correct answer would be $1 million.
What?
In Singapore dollars, which is about $983,000 U.S. dollars.
And that just happened. Singapore dollars used to be way, way more than American.
So the U.S. dollars, a little bit higher. But anyway... Isn't that crazy? So people, when you watch these Olympics, do we really realize that these athletes are getting paid off by their countries. I think in the United States, it's $25,000 for a gold medal.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
And didn't you grow up thinking that these were amateurs? They're not professionals. They're not getting paid. Yet there's so many endorsement deals. When Mike Phelps, and I call him Mike, you know, we go way back. way back when he started winning his medals, he was making like $5 million a year in endorsements.
Right. But you know what? Good for them. I think they should make some money.
So why don't we just have professionals play
in
everything?
Well, now they do. I think now they do. Now they are. First, it was just if you were a professional, you couldn't go to the Olympics. But remember, they changed that and they had the basketball players, the dream team, everything. That
changed
at all.
Well, they still have that, but they're not much of a dream this year.
Right. No.
Unless Carlos. Carlos Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony.
I made him. I'm talking about the Spanish team, the Mexican team or the Spain team. No, actually the U.S. team. They are obviously professionals. Sidney Crosby won the Olympic gold medal in 2010 as a professional, as all the hockey players and basketball players.
Which I think is great. Why not? Why do you have to be, you know, precluded from that? I think that is ridiculous. You're the best in the world.
So what's the real issue about turning pro or not turning pro?
I don't think it is anymore regarding the Olympics. I could be wrong, but I definitely did remember when they said, you know, now you pros can do the Olympics. So I don't think there is an issue anymore.
Well, I think there is because, you know, for instance, Canada has a darling of this Olympics, and you can tell me about the American darlings, but her name is Penny Alexiel, and she's a swimmer. She's won 4 medals and going for her 5th. And she's 16 years old.
I know. I've watched her.
And the issue is whether she will make $250,000 a year, approximately, of course, in endorsements, or continue with her amateur status. And we should ask our guest, who will be on a little bit later, Mark Mudaking, who is the former managing director and general counsel of the U.S. Olympic Committee, what this whole deal is with amateur status and how it has changed. And, of course, we have multi-million dollar athletes playing in the Olympics and so forth. And, of course, we're going to talk about doping.
Yes, of course. I know that the first few people were caught.
What about Russia? It's like a whole country.
No, well, that was beforehand, and then they said.
Oh, so you're talking about Ben Johnson
right now?
Way back.
What? No. The last. I mean, at least
wasn't it Ben Johnson?
You know what?
Do you remember him?
No, I don't remember Ben Johnson.
No,
you mean the runner? There was the runner with the gold shoes. Who was the guy that had the gold shoes? Was that him?
Sorry. No,
I'm talking about right now. There have been a few people who've come out. I think you know that they have caught. And I think it's terrible, but the competition is so high now. It seems like people feel like they have to dope to get there, and it's too bad.
Well, you know, I think that there is a really complex labyrinth of issues that go on regarding the doping, because, of course, with the whistleblowing and the most recent events with the Russians and Yulia Stepanova and Vitaly, who were whistleblowers. Right. And a lot of people call them traitors. If you're in Russia, maybe you call them a traitor. But I can't for the life of me understand why whistleblowers, if it's true, if the information they're giving is true, are criticized and chastised for disclosing cheating.
I don't think everybody thinks of them as a traitor. Everybody thinks of them.
Well, the people in this country obviously don't.
Right, but I think same in Russia. You're going to look at people who have morals and ethics and say, wow, what a horrible thing. They were caught. And, you know, thank God these people caught them before they went in and were caught then and shame the whole country. I think it's better.
I think the countries have been shamed, East Germany going back, way back. But I'll tell you something. Whistleblowing is so prevalent. People are so afraid of speaking out. I see it in my office all the time. Do you know how many people per week call me up and say, you know, I'm afraid, but I'm getting treated very badly at work because I exposed some bad stuff that's going on in my corporation. I just had one this week and it was so sad. The guy had been with the company for, I don't know, 15, 16 years. And they were asking him to railroad people. There was one guy who came in wearing a union jacket, and the owner of the company and some of the management people came and told him he had to tell the guy to leave. He couldn't wear a union jacket. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. What's the law on that? Before you know it, they're writing him up. He had 2 write-ups the next day.
And you took this case on?
I don't want to discuss it. I'm in a situation where we're still working on things. But I'll tell you something. We see whistleblowing all the time, and it breaks my heart because if people are doing wrong, ethically, morally, legally, that should be exposed. And people, there should be protection. And there are whistleblower laws to protect people who speak. But in this case, obviously, when we're talking about the big money in the Olympics, these two are in hiding anyway. I don't know where they are at this point. I know that they've given some interviews. But, when the Olympic committees internally are fixing things so their athletes can get away with doping.
Bad news.
That's very, very egregious.
Yes.
And when we talk about the Olympics, it is about money. It's turned out to be about politics as well. And, there was a great article in the New York Times that just talked about, Michael Phelps making a grown man cry. And that it was just from the basics of athletics, of swimming. And that's what it should be about.
Did you see Ryan Murphy, the swimmer that won the gold? They showed, I like how they do the background on the swimmers or the gymnasts or the athletes. They do these little packages, these nice TV packages.
Right.
And when he was a little kid, he drew a picture of him swimming saying, "Mommy, one day I'm going to grow up and win a gold medal." And it was actually a little book he made. And at the end of the book, it was all stick figures. He was standing there with the Olympic kind of rings around him, circled around him with a gold medal around his neck. And they put that next to the gold medal when he had said as a kid, "I'm going to win a gold medal in swimming." It just gave me chills all over my body.
Is that considered a GIF?
What's a GIF? What do they call them? GIFs or whatever? I don't know.
Graphic animated format.
I guess he could make it
one. Do you know that they were banned? The IOC has clamped down on the graphic animated format?
Wait, why?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that, we used to see them all the time. And in fact, at the last Olympics, if you remember, when the rings didn't open up, there was a little star in the ring on the top right-hand corner because it didn't open up during the opening ceremonies. It became like a meme type thing. And
so they banned it.
It's been banned. But the memes haven't because, of course, we saw Mr. Phelps's face. You saw that.
Yes, oh, I did.
I used it at court. It was so perfect.
Oh,
I used it at court. I swear to
what
God,
did you
on
do?
Thursday, the attorney was being a real jerk, and I just did Michael Phelps on him. I just sat there waiting to talk to the judge, and I had this face, and I just like memeing
Phelps,
it out.
Phelps face.
I just memed it out. All right, well, we're excited because we have with us after the break, Mark Mudaking. Of course, Mark is the former managing director and general counsel of the U.S. Olympic Committee. We'll talk about all these issues and more. Also later in the show, we'll have Max Cobb. He's the president and CEO of the U.S. Biathlon Association and the chair of the International Biathlon Technical Committee. So we'll talk to him about what's going on in the Olympics. I hope you're enjoying it. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 5790 KBC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 9393 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 9393.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our Geico bill with the Geico app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the Geico app. Thank you.
We got a real big show for you.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, George Clooney, Jack Nicholson, and others stop by.
Well, I've got Meryl Streep and Sandy Bullock on the roster for next week. Can't wait. Busy week.
Oh, wait. That's Ellen, not us.
No, it's us.
Oh, okay. We'll go with that. Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. We just did away with our teaser music because we're doing things different today. Did you like that?
It's like a cold open or cold comeback.
Is that what they call it in the radio business?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cold.
Yeah, it's just cold. There's nothing there.
Nothing.
Just our
voices.
Just
a pregnant pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of technical problem here with the with our bumper. What do they call that, Carrie? You're a radio personality.
It's our music, our bumper music, our intro music.
Intro music, yeah. So they're working on it. We've got a whole slew of people working behind the scenes. But what we want to do right now is make sure that we get focused on our issues today, and that is the Olympics.
Yes.
And we want to welcome to Gervie's Law right now, Mark Mudaking. And Mark is formerly the Managing Director and General Counsel of the U.S. Olympic Committee. He's currently with the global law firm of DLA Piper in Washington, has a lot of experience with the Olympics, obviously, and all the issues that have been permeating the news today and in the past. Mark, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Nice to hear from you. We got to ask you right off the top, are these games tainted? With all this talk about the doping, what do you think is really the future here? And can we rely upon the athletics that we're seeing?
I don't think they are. You know, there's always a lot leading up to the Olympics and a lot of the negativity, and there's a lot of focus, especially this year.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this has been really just, you know, over the top. But at the end of the day, and I was listening to you before the break, at the end of the day, the product that the Olympics puts out is one that people truly love. I mean, you were talking about, you know, grown men crying watching Michael Phelps. Well, I have had the luck and good fortune to have trained in the same pool as Michael Phelps for the last 18 years.
Awesome. Really?
That is so cool.
Yeah, the Northern Baltimore Athletic Club. He is such a great kid. And, you know,
He's not much of a kid anymore. He's 31.
You're right. Well,
31.
That's saying something more about me than about him. Okay. But what other, you know, athletic endeavor do you see where, for example, if the Ravens game, they stopped the game and they played him winning the gold medal on the Jumbotron and everybody cheered?
Wow.
And I know that's Baltimore. It's where he's from. But I think that just, that's indicative of how good and how we do really appreciate the Olympic movement and all of the things it stands for.
So, Mark, why shouldn't we then support people like Lily King, the U.S. swimmer, who has said even Americans should have lifetime bans, they shouldn't be allowed back in? When Michael Phelps talks about Yulia Efimova, that it breaks his heart that, you know, that someone doesn't do something about it, you've made a perfect case. You know Michael Phelps, you've swam with him for 18 years or however many years, and why should we be dealing with this in this day and age?
Well, there are some issues here. I mean, first of all, you know, it's easy to kind of say, all right, let's lynch everybody who's a doper, right?
Right.
But there are degrees of this, okay? So for example, Efimova, you know, she was, you know, her doping offense involved using DHEA, which is a substance. I mean, it's in lots of supplements, and her excuse was, whether it's right or not, I don't know, was that it was a tainted supplement, it was a tainted product, she didn't know she had it. And so you have to take into account that type a variance, right? I mean, they're the plain out-and-out cheaters, okay? There's Lance Armstrong. There's Marion Jones. Those are people who are just out-and-out cheaters.
Right.
But there are, I see it, I'm an arbitrator for the Court of Arbitration for Sport and for AAA. Under the drug testing in the United States is governed by the Ted Stevens Olympic and Amateur Sports Act. So the point I'm making is that there are athlete due process rights that are at issue here as well. And while I'm certainly one of those people who believes that the Olympics has to, unlike professional sport, that the Olympics has to aggressively root out doping, it's just not that easy. I mean, you know, Efimova is a good example, and you were talking as well about Yulia Stepanova. And, you know, I mean, the tale of two Yulias here, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know, she did the right thing. She blew the whistle and, you know, had to leave her country. She's here in the United States now, being represented by counsel who's trying to get her a visa to stay. But, I mean, you remember what the Russians do to people. You know, you don't
exactly.
want to, I mean, got to be careful about where she drinks tea, right?
Yeah.
Well, they may say something about Snowden, about the Americans, when you mention that, what the Russians do.
Yeah, I guess so. Look, I mean, but I guess I will say this. If you look at the history of doping, right, the really bad actors, who have they been? Well, before the Iron Curtain fell,
yeah.
right? East Germany, the and those countries, Russia. Okay, look at, for example, just Google doping in China. Okay, so why is it that it's the dictatorships that seem to be the most at fault for this kind of systematic doping?
Yeah, you know, I think you make a good point, and obviously, in your role as General Counsel of the United States Olympic Committee, you were in a situation where you saw due process. Obviously, as an attorney, officer of the court, you were trying to ensure that the Americans were doing the right thing. But apparently in these other countries where you talk about dictatorships and other types of perhaps tyrannical governments, they don't really care. They're just looking to win.
To win. I remember the Beijing Olympics and the Chinese gymnasts. There was a whole big, you know, thing about them changing the birth certificates because they were too young to compete. It's like, we'll do anything here to win, and cheating is okay. And it's almost like what you tell your athletes or the country itself. Is that, do you find that to be true?
You know, I think yes. I mean, recently Brian Gumbelt, who has, I think, a terrific program, HBO Sports,
right,
did a program on the Olympics, and he really traced the use of the Olympics by dictators throughout the ages, starting with the Munich Olympics in 1936, and, you know, to China, right, to the Soviet Union, how, you know, dictatorships essentially was the theory, use the Olympics to buff up their reputations and make them look like they are credible members of the family of nations in
yeah.
this world. I don't like Olympic hit programs, but, you know, nothing is perfect. But you know, I want to say this. You asked about our drug testing in this country. You know, there has been an iterative history of drug testing here, and it's just getting better. When I was the general counsel of the USOC, I thought it was interesting. I showed up on the job, and they said, okay, so, you know, one of the people who reports to you is the person who's head of drug testing. And, you know, this was at the same time that Frank Shorter, remember Frank
yeah,
Shorter, when they opened up the, you know, the Stasi files, he found out that guy, Sapinski, you know, who beat him for the gold medal in the 76 Olympics was just doper number 62, right?
That's right.
And so he wrote a long memo. At that time, you know, President Clinton had General Barry McCafferty as the as his drug czar. And wrote, a long memorandum about drug testing. And the thing that came out of that, and I think the U.S. Olympic Committee has to be congratulated for it, is they looked at it and said, wait a minute. This is a huge conflict of interest to have the United States Olympic Committee, which is responsible for getting medals, right, for putting on the best team it can, to also be policing doping. And I saw it. I mean, one day I was trying to, you know, find reason why this person shouldn't be ineligible, and another day, another person who was. I mean, it was like being judge, jury, and executioner. It just made no sense.
Mark, we have to take a quick break, but I just want to ask you really quickly, you know, we talked about whistleblowing. Were you in a position, and, you know, just in 10 seconds or less, of being an actual whistleblower as an attorney for the Olympic Committee?
No, and I'll tell you why, because the Olympic Committee didn't need that.
Oh, well, that's a good answer. We have to take a quick break. Stay with us, Mark. We'll be right back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Or just common sense advice from a friend, call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 9393 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 9393.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California.
I am the smartest man alive!
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
There we go. We got the bumper music working. It's not exactly the Olympic theme song, but that's okay. We got some music. I could run 100 meters with that music.
I think I could dance.
Dance. Yeah, that's not like an Olympic event.
No. Dancing isn't? That kind of is.
Stray cat strut, we call it. I'm looking forward to the 100 meters, by the way. It's one of my favorite events. Always watched it.
I just
fastest
love it.
Fastest man
yes.
alive.
Love
and,
it.
And we've got a great showdown this year. And actually, I have reason to cheer. Although I am a very pro-American. We got Justin Gatlin in there. We're not sure about him because he's a little bit controversial because of his doping.
Yeah.
His doping past. But we also have DeGrasse, who's Andre DeGrasse from Canada, is a competitor who will probably watch the man, the lightning bolt, win the whole thing from Jamaica.
I love Usain Bolt. And that is, I mean, he is so fun to watch. So fun to watch.
So let's keep talking here because it's really some fascinating conversation we're fortunate to have with us. Mark Mudaking, who is former general counsel of the United States Olympic Committee, and he now is with and has been with for some time the law firm. It's a global law firm throughout the world, DLA Piper in Washington. First, Mark, you were going to comment on what your job was and why it wasn't whistleblowing. But before you do that, if you can just inform the listeners how long you were the general counsel for the U.S. Olympic Committee and why you're not in that position now.
Oh, well, for not very long a period. I mean, the Olympic Committee, I got hired by the U.S. Olympic Committee after the Salt Lake bid scandal.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea was that they were going to beef up their governance and the way they approach things.
Right.
It had been a number of problems. So they hired Norm Blake to come in and be the CEO at that time, and Norm hired me to be his general counsel. I think the answer is that as Don Fear once said to me, he said, the thing about Norm Blake is he came in and did what he said he was going to do, and they apparently didn't want that.
You were part of that.
Yeah, so I left. I left when he left, decided to leave.
So you didn't shake things up. You weren't pushing for very stringent doping laws or anything. You weren't trying to put all the athletes away, and the Americans came to you and said, hey, we still got to win these Olympics. Mr. Mudikin, can you just go back to your firm and leave us alone?
No, we were trying to shake up a number of other things. But as I was saying before the break, and that's what really, they decided they did not want the kind of corporate governance reform that we thought they did, which ended up, I always say, sometimes you're right and you leave a place because of principles, but they're very seldom that you have congressional hearings that prove you were right.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
that helps.
Getting back to doping, the point of that is that the USOC and Americans should be very proud of the Olympic movement in this country, because they recognized early on, and again, I think Frank Shorter was really the impetus, that they needed to set up an independent doping agency, and they did in 2000 when I was there, called the United States Anti-Doping Agency. USADA has been terribly successful. I mean, just by way of example, USADA, despite everyone else trying, finally brought down Lance Armstrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
The head of USADA, Travis Tiger, was listed in Time magazine as one of the 100 most influential people in the world that year. And so it really was because it's a first-rate anti-doping agency that has what are really the essentials of an effective doping program, which is it's independent, it's transparent, it's accountable. It has, best practices in testing while yet providing due process to athletes. At this point, yet it has adequate funding. Funding is always an issue. And they have a terrific education program for athletes to educate athletes as to, one, the harms of doping, because they're incredible. I mean, the adverse impact is incredible, but also that you can compete clean. And that you should be proud of competing clean. And
let me ask you this. When you do compete and you have been found to have been doping, like Lance Armstrong, what happens when those people that have been stripped, like they didn't win the medal, these people who, they're right, the medals should, their gold medals or their top medals should be rightfully theirs. Is there a ceremony? Like, they've lost out on everything. These people who have come in second have lost out on everything.
Yeah,
do you go back, and is there a ceremony for these people?
No, they meet them at the Starbucks and they give them the
medal. No, come on. I want to know.
It's true.
No, I mean, the truth is there's not. I mean, there's a recent example of a woman from Brooklyn, Alisa Montano, who came in fifth in the 800 meters in London, right? So just recently she found out that two people ahead of her were doping. She doesn't. She doesn't get. I mean, think about the honor of standing on the podium at the Olympics.
Exactly.
Yes.
right?
Yeah,
yes.
Something you want to show your children and be proud of.
And your country.
Have a great picture to put up in your house or your office.
Superimpose yourself, I guess.
It comes down to life isn't fair. That's all there is to it, and that's what happens. I want to bring Max Cobb in on this conversation because, Mark, you make some excellent points about what the U.S. has done internally to ensure cleaner athletes. Max Cobb is the president and CEO of the United States Biathlon Association, and he's vice chair of the USOC National Governing Bodies Council. Max, first of all, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Alan. Pleasure to be with you.
And I'm here with Kerry Kasem as well. And we want to know, Max, because, you know, Mark has said that, you know, former general counsel for the U.S. Olympic Committee is saying that over the last, you know, 10 years or so, they've done a pretty good job. You're in the trenches, not only with the U.S. Biathlon Association, but I know you have a very active following, and you do a lot of tweeting, and you have a lot of knowledge about this. Is it true? Do you think that, you know, the U.S. is way ahead of what we talked about before earlier, which is maybe some of these countries that may not be as fair-minded and democratic?
You know, Mark was right on target with his comments there. I think the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency is the gold standard around the world, and Travis is a fearless crusader, and the independence that Mark spoke about is what makes that work. And, you know, he's had a great board that has been very supportive of his aggressive stance, and I don't think there's an athlete in the U.S. Olympic movement who doesn't realize that they stand, if they're engaged in doping, they stand a really good chance of getting caught. And I think, you know, honestly, that's what it takes, along with the educational program. I'm at the North American Biathlon Championships right now, and we had USADA come out and give a education lecture to all of our young and up-and-coming athletes, and they did a fantastic job. It was very engaging. And these athletes have grown up in a milieu where it is, you know, the honor of sport is about competing clean. And I think that, you know, that's...
And, you know, these are excellent points, but let's be realistic here. I played a lot of sports growing up. I ran track. And I'll tell you, I had a will to win. I worked very hard. I stayed after school, worked on my technique. I went before school, you know, hours with my coaches and everything. And that's great to say about the United States, but when you get into international competitions and you're competing against athletes who aren't subject to what the U.S. does, how do you feel? You put all your time and effort, and Kerry just said, you know, you finish fifth and find out, you know, maybe later, maybe you don't find out that two or three of the athletes ahead of you were doping on steroids or whatever. How do you, Max, you know, being so involved with the biathlon athletes, how do you convince them that it's worth it and not to get frustrated by what's going on around the world, especially in Russia right now?
You know, I think the reality is that it is super frustrating for all of us, for me and for my athletes, and it's for exactly that reason that, you know, recently I sent an email to one of the leaders in the USOC after the decision by the IOC, and it was a very short email. I just said, what do I tell my athletes now? And I think, you know, that's really the tragic event that occurred a week or 10 days ago when the IOC decided to kick the can to the international federations who were prepared to deal with it. And I think, you know, that was a message to clean athletes. You know, it broke trust with the clean athlete community of the world.
I want to ask both of you to start with Mark. Do you think the athletes themselves know who is doping? And if so, why isn't there more whistleblowing? Why aren't people talking? Especially if you lose, I would talk. Mark?
Well, look, I've always said, I think, you know, if you look at somebody's performance and you say that's too good to be true,
okay? Maybe it is. So I
yeah,
think
are you talking about a specific Hungarian swimmer with a husband who's...
I didn't mention her name. No, I didn't.
I'm not mentioning... With a husband who's as annoying as hell, I got to tell you.
But the point is, you know, you can't whistleblow. You don't know what they're doing back in, you know, this other country, right? You can have your suspicions. And so the only thing the athletes can do is hope that the World Anti-Doping Agency is... very quickly reformed, so it has the same independence and the same, I guess, credibility as the USADA does. That's the only thing you can do for the athletes.
Max, do you agree with that, or do you have athletes who come to you and say, "Hey, I'm competing. I'm trying to get on the Olympic team, and I think you know, the guy next door here in my own country is doing some funny business here."
You know, the suspicions are out there. There's no question about it. We talk about it with our athletes, and the athletes talk with us about it. But the reality is that in order to follow through on that, you need a case that'll stand up in court. And I think what, you know, the opportunity that was squandered here was that for the first time,
yeah,
we had insiders coming out and saying what was going on. And that opportunity was really wasted to follow up, to take. Yep.
That's a good political statement. I happen to agree with you, but go ahead, Carrie. You want to say something?
These substances keep coming out. There's newer substances, you know, and then people will use them for a while, and then it gets banned. How do you keep up with everything? And how do you find them? Are you constantly just testing for, you know,
big money business?
I mean, there's a new drug every year.
The problem with that is,
okay, go ahead.
The designer drugs have been around forever. I mean, you know, in the 50s, steroids were looked at like the fountain of youth. They were looked at like DNA,
exactly,
you know, modifying now. So it's not a matter of creating new ones. I mean, you know, in the Barry Bonds case, you know, the guy cooked up an old one in his garage.
Right.
Wow.
And now it's, go ahead. You were going to say something.
In biathlon, we had a great example in 2009 of a new form of EPO that was developed, and the Russians were caught with it by very aggressive testing done by the International Biathlon Union Dr. Jim Terebray, who is responsible for our anti-doping program, Canadian, incidentally. And he worked really, really hard to find this, what WADA called a biosimilar EPO. And at the time, this was 2009, at the time they said that it would have cost tens of millions of dollars to develop that drug. And I think one of the things that's mentioned briefly in the Pound report are the undetectable performance-enhancing drugs that are being developed
right
at an institute in Moscow. And, you know, that's another area where a responsible World Anti-Doping Agency would pick up the reins and go and investigate that. And I think it's really frustrating for clean athletes to see WADA dragging their feet so much and not following the leads that they have.
Absolutely. It's a very competitive business, even in the United States here. So, you know, we're not all angels, of course. And there's a lot of money involved. And we talked earlier, and we can talk about this after the break. Can you both stay with me here, Mark and Max?
Yep.
Okay, because
yep.
I want to talk a little bit about the money involved. You know, there's so much money for these athletes, and some of these things are the difference between having a beautiful house and big cars and being out on the street. So we'll talk about that, and we want to talk about some other things with the Olympics. We've only scratched the surface. Unfortunately, we only have one more segment. We'll be right back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 9393 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 9393.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
This is Shaquille O'Neal, here with 13-year-old Dylan.
Pleased to meet me.
What's that smell?
My body spray, dude.
A little strong, isn't it, bro?
You know it.
This is the perfect time for me to introduce new Gold Bond Men's Powder Spray. More than a scented body spray, it controls odor and wetness with a sophisticated scent. It really separates the men from the Dylans.
Hold up. Have my earbuds in. You say something?
Nope. Fellas, stay cool with Gold Bond.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Today's story, Marty and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich.
Yeah, I go to Burger King. They got that croissant sandwich deal, 2 for $4. It's wicked good with the sausage, dude. And 2 for $4, that is a huge bargain. Huge.
Well said, Marty. Tasty, savory, sausage on a flaky croissant. Hey, this is not breakfast. This is a Burger King breakfast. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for just $4. Only at Burger King. Price of participation varies.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. We're getting ready for an exciting evening of NBC coverage of the Olympics. Don't tell me what happened. You can call me at 800-222-5222 if you want to break the news of what's going on in the Olympics right now. But I'm going to wait. I'm not going to take your call because I want to see what happens. You're getting to a couple of events that I'm real excited about, but I don't want to talk about that. If I had another hour, I would. Carrie, I know, you know, our interests are a little bit different. I'm like more into the track and field, and you're more into
gymnastics. I love swimming. I like the equine. You know, did you see the story where the woman who is in dressage, do you know what dressage is?
Absolutely. My wife actually did dressage in school.
Me too. I grew
Culver
up with
Academy.
It. Yeah, I did. I did 3-day eventing. So it was dressage and jumping in the arena
you
and jumping outside.
You guys should have a jump off.
We should. But anyways, her horse had been bitten by a poisonous insect, and he was clear to compete, but she felt he just didn't feel good. So she starts, and she knew that if she left that arena, that her whole team would be done.
Wow.
And she said, this was my buddy of 19 years, and I'm not going to let him down. And he wasn't feeling good, and I wasn't going to put him through that. And she made headlines everywhere. She did not. She got off.
So
she saluted and left the ring.
Is that the same as the Saudi Arabian athlete who refused to compete in the judo because she might have had to go up against the Israeli?
I don't know if that's the same.
They claimed that there was an injury and
right,
it may have just
right,
been
no,
a political
right. But I don't think it was the same. Well, I don't think anybody was bitten by a poisonous bug.
I'm getting really political with you here because there's a few situations, you know, where people aren't shaking hands, and you know,
I think that's
your
awful.
Your background is Lebanese.
Lebanese.
I'm Jewish. So
look at this. We work together just fine.
But I'm not going to shake your hand after this show.
No, you'll give me a hug.
Absolutely, I'll give you a hug. And you know, we should focus on the positives of the Olympics. There's so much negatives. We've been talking about doping, and we can talk about the politics. We have Max Cobb with us, and he's president and CEO of the U.S. Biathlon Association and vice chair of the USOC National Governing Bodies Council. And Mark Mudeking, who is the former managing director of general counsel of the U.S. Olympic Committee, currently with the law firm of DLA Piper in Washington. You know, I do want to focus on the positive, and I guess money is positive. Mark, earlier in the show, Carrie and I were talking about amateur status versus professional status. That was something that was germane when we were growing up. But now, what's the deal with it? Because I was reading somewhere with athlete Penny Oleksiak, who is the Canadian who's won four medals in the swimming pool so far, saying whether she was going to turn pro or not, and she could receive $250,000 approximately in endorsements. What's the difference when they're pro athletes who are making millions of dollars in the Olympics?
Not much. I mean, Avery Brundage is long dead, You know, who was the one who insisted on amateurism. I mean, we're way beyond amateurism in the Olympics. I mean, the dream team is the best example of that, right? So I don't know. I mean, it's whether you're a pro or not doesn't really matter. A number of the swimmers are pros as well. So, you know, it does add money to the games, I guess, and money and sport always have somewhat clashed and created inducements for cheating, as you point out. But otherwise, I don't think amateurism is all even relevant in the Olympics today.
And Max, when we talk about the biathlon athletes, obviously they don't have the big payoff. Even though they can, you know, America has had a great biathlon team over the years, and we just don't know them as, you know, names in this country like we know swimmers and track athletes. How does that play in the athletes that you've specifically deal with now?
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that's true for the vast majority of the athletes who represent our country at the Olympic Games. I think, you know, most of them are athletes we don't hear of very often, who struggle a lot to be able to afford to pursue their Olympic dream. And I think that's, you know, in some ways part of the Olympic movement here in the United States, that, you know, we're not a country that has a ministry of sport as a part of our government that doles out money to aspiring athletes to represent our country. We, you know, our athletes are people who have a tremendous drive and vision and determination and make huge sacrifices to do what they're doing, by and large. And, you know, whether that's living out of the back of your car the week before
right.
the Olympic trials, and you know, that's the reality for
and those of and those American are really. Biathletes. The backstories are interesting, Carrie.
Yeah, no, you know, how do you decide when to take a sport out or to put a sport back in? I know that golf was just put back in, and people are very excited about that. But what?
Who's excited about that?
Golfers.
To watch on Sunday afternoon and watch the final round
golfers,
of a tournament.
No, golfers. I think it's great. I think it's great. But how do you decide that? And when is a sport so like recognized worldwide that you go, okay, the sport's in there now. We're gonna make it an Olympic.
And again. You know, Mark, you can address this, but there's a lot of controversy with that as well. Just like we talk about the bids, Mark earlier mentioned about the scandal, the Salt Lake scandal that he got involved with. And there's a lot of scandals with respect to the sports
sure.
in the Olympics.
Well, you know, what gets in and what's not in is sometimes a matter of geopolitics to some extent. I mean, you know, baseball was taken out. Why? Well, because, you know, it's pretty much of an American sport. And there's always been, I think, obviously an anti-American bias in a lot of the Olympics. So it gets voted on. I mean, you know, the interesting thing about the way the Olympic Committee makes decisions, the IOC, I mean, is that every country, no matter how big or small, has a vote. right?
Yeah.
And so that's exactly, you know, some of the issues in picking where it's going to be. You know, should every country have the same vote? I don't know, but that's the way it works.
We only have a couple minutes, guys. So a couple quick questions. Make your answers short. First of all, have you been satisfied with the NBC coverage of the Olympics this year? Max?
I think that the ability to watch everything live streamed is really great, and I think that the quality of the streaming that they're doing is terrific. I wish that there was more more network coverage, but I think they're doing a great job.
Mark, do you agree?
I think absolutely it's been terrific. I'd like to see some of the smaller sports, but, you know, they're really packaging it for more people. So
yeah,
I think it's been terrific.
And that's what they have to do. A lot of people like the variety show versus the actual sports event.
Right.
So that's what they're doing. They've obviously done their research. I want to thank both of you, Max Cobb and Mark Mudaking, for being on Gervie's Law today. You've got a lot of interesting positions and information. We appreciate your time today, guys.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And for all of you who are waiting, you're just waiting to turn the radio off so you can watch the Olympics. It's time. Gervie's Law is ending. Go to NBC and watch. It should be a great evening, Saturday evening, to watch the Olympics. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.